Hello and good morning. Let's start this session. I'm Sanjeev Kumar. Welcome to the session on clustering. We'll have five talks in this session. First one is graphons, mergeons, and so on. This work is from Justin Eldridge, Mikhail Belkin, and Yushu Wang. Justin will be giving the talk.
Hello. OK, so this is a talk about the theory of machine learning, right? And in learning, we have two main tasks. We have classification, and we have clustering. And it's interesting to note that the theory of classification is more developed than the theory of clustering. We have more correctness guarantees for classification algorithms as compared to clustering algorithms. Now, why might this be? In classification, we have a ground truth. We know that every data point has a correct label. But the correct ground truth clustering is harder to define. In fact, the same data set may have multiple equally valid clusterings, right? So this question of what the correct clustering is, in general, has no single answer. But consider a particular approach to clustering, the statistical approach. So here we have data sampled from some underlying distribution, such as a probability density. If we can define the clusters of the distribution, then the natural clustering of the data is that which recovers the distribution's clusters. So that's to say that in the statistical approach, there's often a natural ground truth clustering. So we'll take the statistical approach in developing a theory of graph clustering in this talk. So the goal here is to organize the nodes of a graph into the natural clusters. In particular, we'll model the data as coming from a very rich random graph model of much recent interest called a graphon. We'll define the clusters of a graphon, develop a notion of convergence to these clusters, and then provide a clustering algorithm which converges. But first, some background. So much of the existing theory of graph clustering is situated in the so-called stochastic block model. This is a model for generating random graphs in which each node belongs to exactly one of k blocks or communities. And so the model is parameterized by this k by k matrix P of edge probabilities. The probability of an edge within community I is given by PII. The probability of an edge between communities is given by PIJ. So here's an example of a two-block model, which might represent, for example, a social network of girls and boys at a school. So we have to specify three probabilities: the probability that two girls are friends, two boys are friends, and a boy and a girl are friends. So we can sample a graph from a block model in a straightforward way. First, we sample the communities uniformly with replacement. So I'll draw six nodes here. And then we add edges to this graph with probability according to this model matrix P. So for any two red nodes, we add an edge with probability P red red. For two blue nodes, with probability P blue blue. And for a red and blue node, probability P red blue. We do this for all pairs of nodes. And then we forget the community labels, giving us a randomly sampled graph. Now, since we forgot those community labels in the last step, it turns out that permuting the rows or columns of this model matrix doesn't change the underlying graph distribution. This is a fact that'll come back in a second. So keep this in mind. So the theory of graph clustering is largely situated in this model, as I said. And here, what the clusters should be are clear. They're just the communities used to, in fact, define the model. And a notion of convergence, a strong notion of convergence, is that we should recover these community labels exactly as we sample larger and larger graphs and cluster them. And there are consistent methods. But there's a problem. Many real-world networks are not well fit by the block model. And this is intuitive, right? So large networks like Facebook and LinkedIn are very complicated. And the two-block model is very simple. We'd be hard-pressed to model Facebook with three parameters, right? So the solution is simple. We increase the number of parameters. We increase the number of communities. So instead of two communities, we might have three or five, and so on. And as we increase the number of communities in the model, we feel that it becomes a richer and more expressive model. So why not take this to the limit, right? Let's have infinitely many communities. So with some hand waving, I'll argue that this limit of the sequence of block models, this sequence of matrices, is a function. This function is called in the literature a graphon. More precisely, it's a symmetric measurable function mapping the unit square to the unit interval. And I'll briefly note that this notion of convergence can be made precise. It's called convergence in the so-called cut metric, which is permutation invariant. And other aspects of graphon theory are well described in this book by Lovage, which I highly recommend. So one interpretation of this graphon is as the adjacency of an infinite weighted graph. Nodes in this graph are points in the unit interval. So this graph has uncountably many nodes. And the weight of an edge in this graph is encoded by the graphon W. So the weight of the edge XY is encoded by W of XY. And we can sample a graph from a graphon in a familiar way. First, we randomly sample n nodes uniformly. And then we add an edge between, say, nodes x1 and x5 with probability w of x1, x5. We look into the graphon here. This has a high probability. And so by chance, this edge is included. We could do something similar for nodes x3 and x6. We see that the graphon here has low probability, a low value. And so by chance, this edge is omitted. We do this for all possible edges. And then we forget those labels, obtaining a randomly sampled graph. A kind of neat fact about graphon theory is that sampled graphs converge to the graphon in the sense of the cut metric that they were sampled from. So here's an adjacency matrix of a randomly sampled graph with, I think, 8 nodes. As we increase the size of this randomly sampled graph, it converges to something, right? And what it converges to is the graphon. So a graphon defines a very rich distribution on graphs. It better models real-world data, real-world networks, as compared to the block model, and in fact subsumes the block model. The graphon on the left is equivalent to the block model on the right. But the cost of this richness is complexity. Graphons can be much more complex than a block model. And as such, it presents several unique and subtle technical difficulties. And I'll describe a couple here. But I'll just say a lot of the work of the paper goes into dealing with these difficulties in a very rigorous way. Unfortunately, I don't have time really to go into them, though. So the first issue is that a graphon node, a single graphon node or edge, is not meaningful alone. Right, so this picture kind of makes this clear. If we look at a block model, a single entry in one of these matrices is significant. But as we increase the number of blocks, the significance diminishes. And in the limit, removing a single node from an infinite graph is not much of a perturbation, right? So in a careful approach, we wouldn't reference single nodes or edges in this infinite graph. We'd only deal with equivalence classes of sets modulo null sets. In what follows, though, I'll just largely enjoy ignore this issue in the interest of time, but see the paper for details, because it is a major issue. The second issue has to do with graphon equivalences. So you'll remember that two block models are equivalent if you can permute them, if they're equivalent up to permutation. Something similar happens for graphons. So two graphons define the same random graph model if and only if they're equivalent up to relabeling. So here I've showed sort of a permutation of this graphon. The real issue is that a graphon relabeling can be very complex. So relabeling of the nodes of a graphon is just a map from the unit interval into itself. But the only constraint on this map is that it must be measure preserving. That's kind of a confusing term because it actually only needs to preserve measure in one direction. It can, in fact, map a null set to a set of full measure, which is kind of nasty. So it doesn't need to be a bijection. It doesn't need to be a permutation, per se. And it can be very far from it. These two graphons look very different, but they are, in fact, the same in a sense. They define the same random graph model. So there's usually no canonical way to label a graphon. And so in the rest of this presentation, I'll just use nice graphons with nice labelings. Usually that means piecewise constant. But our definitions in theory will make sense for any labeling of any graphon. So we'll model data as coming from a graphon. which is a very rich random graph model. But as far as I'm aware, no theory of clustering exists in this model. So we'll give answers to some fundamental questions in this talk. So what are the clusters of a graphon? How do we define convergence to these clusters? That is, how do we define statistical consistency? And which clustering algorithms are convergent or consistent? So first, what are the clusters of a graphon? Here we'll interpret the graphon as an adjacency of an infinite weighted graph, and what that graph might look like is shown on the right. So a link in this graph, a link in this depiction, corresponds to a region of the graphon. For example, this highlighted link corresponds to that region of this infinite adjacency. And since the graphon takes on value lambda 1 everywhere in that region, we'll associate this link with weight lambda 1. Similarly, this link has weight lambda 2, because that's the value that the graphon takes on that region, and so on. So we'll define clusters of this infinite graph to be sort of connected components. And here we'll use a generalization of graph connectivity that makes sense for infinite graphs. And we extend here the notion introduced by Jansen. The key of this definition is that it's insensitive to null sets or single edges. So a single edge, such as shown here, cannot serve to connect two regions of the graphon. So in fact, we can speak of the clusters of the graphon at various levels. Intuitively, at level lambda 3, there are three clusters, three connected components, the red, blue, and green regions. So any pair of red nodes are in the same cluster at level lambda 3, same for any pair of blue nodes or green nodes. And so we keep track of this with a function m. So m assigns to any pair of red nodes or blue nodes or green nodes the value lambda 3, which encodes the fact that that's the level at which they merge, they're clustered together. Intuitively, any pair of red and blue nodes merge at level lambda 2 because we have this link here of weight lambda 2 connecting the red and blue regions. So any pair of red and blue nodes are in the same cluster at level lambda 2. We encode this in the function m by setting m of red blue to lambda 2. And lastly, at level lambda 1, everything comes together into one big cluster. And so we just fill in the rest of this function m with value lambda 1. So we call this function m the mergeon. The value of m at the point x, y encodes the first level at which graphon nodes x and y are in the same cluster. So as such, m defines the ground truth clustering of a graphon. And I'll just briefly note that it's more than just a bookkeeping tool. It actually helps us get around some of these subtle technical issues that I don't have time to really get into right now. So a mergeon has hierarchical structure in the sense that clusters from higher levels nest within clusters from lower levels. So we can interpret this function as a sort of a tree. And we call this structure, this tree structure, the graphon cluster tree. It's a tree of clusters. And so we can work with it and the mergeon sort of interchangeably. Sometimes it's more useful to think of it as a tree. And I'll just briefly note that we have this nice result as a consequence of how we make our definitions, that if two graphons are the same up to relabeling, they define the same graph model, then their mergeons and cluster trees are the same up to relabeling, though this is surprisingly non-trivial to show. So we've defined the ground truth clustering of a graphon. It's encoded by the mergeon. How do we define convergence? So the picture is this. We're given a graph sampled from a graphon. We apply a hierarchical clustering algorithm. We organize the nodes of this graph into a tree. In what sense does this tree converge to the underlying ground truth cluster tree of the graphon as we sample larger graphs and cluster them? So our notion of convergence is a metric notion. So we define a distance between cluster trees. And intuitively, two cluster trees are close if corresponding pairs of nodes merge at similar levels in each tree. So this is where the mergeon comes in, right? So the merge height of a pair of nodes is encoded by the mergeon. So we have a mergeon m for the tree on the left and a mergeon m prime for the tree on the right. And the difference between these mergeons on the same pair of nodes encodes the difference in merge height. And so our notion of distance, our merge distortion, is the maximum difference in merge height over all pairs of nodes. So this quantifies the difference between trees. And so we say that a sequence of trees converges in merge distortion if this distortion goes to zero as the size of the trees grow, and this gives a notion of consistency, so we need convergence and probability. And so consistency will imply that disjoint clusters of the cluster tree are separated eventually. So what clustering algorithms are consistent, if any? So imagine we sample this graph. From this graph on, it has two communities, the red and blue communities. And the probability of these edges sort of determine the communities, right? Within a community, edges have probability P. Across communities, they have probability Q. So if we knew these edge probabilities, we could cluster the graph correctly. But we don't know them, right? And the presence or absence of an edge in this graph tells us little about the probability. But still, computing an estimate p hat of edge probabilities seems like a reasonable idea. And in fact, we have this result that if you can estimate the true edge probabilities in max norm, you can apply single linkage clustering to the estimate and then get a consistent clustering method. But there are many recent edge probability estimators, but all of them are consistent in mean squared error, which is too weak. We need consistency in max norm. So we modify and analyze this neighborhood smoothing method of Zhang to obtain consistency in max norm. So the brief idea of this algorithm is, given an ugly graph, you want to estimate the probability of this edge. You construct a neighborhood of nodes similar to node I. And then you estimate the edge probability by averaging the number of edges from this node, from nodes in this neighborhood to node J. So we have a theorem that says that this modified neighborhood smoothing estimator is consistent in max norm. And as a corollary, we have a consistent graph clustering algorithm. So in this work, we define the clusters of a graphon. They're encoded by the mergeon. We develop a notion of consistency in merge distortion, and we provide a consistent clustering algorithm.